Welcome to Tuesday's edition of Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. Today, Brian Newman looks at the Bible and the Christian faith and the difference between a true and a false prophet. How can we discern the good from the bad? And what about those so-called prophets that bring tales of doom or destruction? Are they of God? God has used people in the past as prophets, as we see in the Bible, but does God still give messages to modern-day people? And if so, how can we know if the message is from Him or from the devil? Let's join Brian now as he shares some important insights.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to our study that we are going to do today. And for those of you who have been with us for the past while, you will remember, of course, that we have been doing a series on the voices of a dying planet and music and worship and related issues. I would like to deviate from that now into a study which is most certainly connected to some of the principles and things we have discussed. But what I would like to do now more specifically is get into the Bible, to try and show from the Word of God itself that the Christian experience, that the faith of Christianity, that the faith and belief and the doctrine of those who claim to be the children of God can only be grounded in the blueprint, as it were, of the Bible. And to do that, we have to look into some of the themes which we may have discussed during or alluded to during our series on music and worship. One of the things you may recall that we alluded to was that the experience of each person needs to be tested according to some very important biblical criteria. We need to establish whether something is of God or not, a true prophet or a false prophet. There's some pertinent scriptures we looked at which we are going to look at in more detail during this study. Because as we establish the Word of God for being the foundation of our faith, it will give us more strength, it will give us more confidence in God's plan and in His Word, and indeed in His desire for our lives, and it will help us to even consolidate more firmly many of the things that we have studied and looked at in our previous presentations. In the early days of the Reformers, the great Reformation that took place, which was a reformation against error and untruths that had been brought into the church, they had a very famous slogan or saying which they used, and that was a saying which went like this. In the Latin it was sola scriptura. That means the Bible and the Bible only. That was what they believed was the foundation for their faith. And indeed I believe that as the Reformation continued, and as the Protestant Church arose in protestation against that which was wrong, against persecution, against false doctrine, that they always maintain the foundation of faith as being the Word of God and the Word of God alone. It can be the only foundation, because if it was not for the Word of God, we would not even have known Christianity. Much has been written about Christianity, books and articles, right through the past 2,000 years. But the only thing which is the original manuscript upon which many of these other writings have been based come from the canon of Scripture. And of course, more specifically, the New Testament, which speaks about the Christian church and its growth and its history. But indeed, the Old Testament scriptures too, because it was upon those scriptures that the early Christian church, and indeed Christ Himself, based His teaching and His faith. So we want to go to the scriptures first of all, and start off with a portion of scripture that comes from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, where we see a situation between two prophets, two people who claimed to be of God. It is an interesting story, and I'd like you to take notice of some of the things that are taking place here. Chapter 28 of the book of Jeremiah starts off by speaking about two prophets, Hananiah and Jeremiah. And in this situation, the prophet Jeremiah, amongst all the people that are present, as you will see when we read the scripture, is wearing a yoke of oxen around his neck. This yoke of oxen, which certainly was weighing him down, and he must have been quite a spectacle in the presence of the people. And here he is. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord." This is, of course, Jeremiah writing and saying, "He spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying." Let's pause there for a moment. So here was Jeremiah in the presence of all the people. Hananiah, who seems to be a very influential man indeed, he comes from a lineage of prophets. His father Azur was indeed a prophet. They're in the presence of the king and the people. And here Jeremiah, with this yoke of oxen, big spectacle that he must have been, standing there in the presence of the people. Hananiah now addresses the people and he speaks. And listen to what he says. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts," and this is starting in verses 2. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." A bold claim that Hananiah the prophet is making, that God has broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. And the symbolism is very strong, especially when you consider that Jeremiah was wearing this yoke around his neck, which represented the yoke of Babylon, was symbolic of the yoke of Babylon, of the Babylonian captivity. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, "Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon." What a claim. A claim that this prophet is making, that in 2 years the Lord is going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to bring back the artifacts and things that were taken from the temple and restore them once again to Jerusalem and to the temple. A wonderful message, of course, for the people of that time, because they did not want to be in bondage to Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon. Here was somebody who came with a message that sounded just like the kind of message they would like to hear. It is okay. Everything is fine. No problem. The vessels are going to be brought back. It is going to be restored. He goes on to say, "I will bring again," verse 4, "to this place Jeconiah the son of Joachim, the king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah from Babylon." So the captives would come back, everything, "and I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Then the prophet Jeremiah, now he speaks, "said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord." This is what he said. "Even the prophet Jeremiah said Amen." So it would almost seem, when one looks at the first opening lines of Jeremiah, that he is saying, responding to the message of Hananiah the prophet, saying Amen. In fact, he said, "The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place." So Jeremiah, in essence, is saying, yes, this would be wonderful. The Lord, may the Lord answer this, or at least prove that what you are saying is right, because it would be lovely if these things were brought back into the house of the Lord and the captives would come back to Jerusalem and so on. But listen to what happens now in verses 7. He goes on to say, "Nevertheless," or one can put the word "but" in there, "hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people." And again, remember the picture. Hananiah is standing in the presence of the people and the leaders, making this prophecy is made. Jeremiah, yeah, is standing with this yoke around his neck, representing symbolic of the captivity. And now he says, "Nevertheless, listen to the words that I'm speaking. The prophets that have gone before me and before you of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence." And Yari refers to one of the tests of the prophet. He says in verse 9, "The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him." Very important. First of all, he doesn't condemn the message of Hananiah the prophet. He says that it would be very nice if this would be fulfilled. Indeed, the people desired such a message. They wanted a message of peace and safety. But then Hananiah says, in spite of the fact that Jeremiah says, in spite of the fact that I'm saying Amen, and that the Lord may perform this, I want you to recognize that the prophets before have made other kinds of prophecies. And if your prophecy comes to pass, well, then we'll know you're a true prophet. But now something interesting happens here. Hananiah the prophet wants to make his point very powerfully. He knew that the yoke on the neck of Jeremiah symbolized the captivity into Babylon. So what does he do? It says in verse 10, "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and he broke it." So he took this yoke on, which was meant to symbolize, God told Jeremiah to wear it to symbolize the captivity. He takes that yoke and he breaks it in the presence of the people. And now he emphasizes his point. He says, "And Hananiah spake in the presence of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord." So the claim is very emphatic. And the symbolic gesture is very emphatic as well. The claim is, God has said this. So he is claiming that he is coming with a message from God, that he apparently is a prophet of God. "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. So he's saying, the same way that I am breaking this yoke off of your neck, Jeremiah, the Lord will. Thus saith God, he will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. The question must be asked though, was Hananiah a true prophet or was he a false prophet? He said all the right things, especially with regarding the claim of authority, where his prophecy came from. He claimed that the authority came from God himself. God was the one, he claimed, that said that this is what happened. But remember what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah the prophet said that there have been other prophecies made that seem to indicate that what you are saying may not be true, and we need to apply the test. And he gave the test if the words come to pass. But the Lord now does something very interesting. Read from verses 12. "Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying," and this is what God said to Jeremiah, he says, "Go and tell Hananiah, thus saith the Lord." So now you say, yeah, Hananiah said, "Thus saith the Lord," but now you go with a message and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And what is it that he must say? "Thou hast broken the yokes of wood." The yoke, which of course he's referring to, yeah, the one that Jeremiah had around his neck. "Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron." You see, they had despised God. Hananiah had come with a false message. And then in verse 14 it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also." And so the prophet Jeremiah goes to Hananiah and he says, "Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make the people to trust in a lie." So he delivers the message from God, and basically it is, you are not a true prophet, in spite of the fact that you claimed that your message came from God. You are a false prophet. And this is the true message. The Lord will put a yoke of iron on the children of Israel, the nations will serve the king of Babylon, and you have the responsibility of causing God's people to believe in a lie, giving them a message of peace, of safety that is to come, of freedom from captivity, when it is not the message which God has sent. And in verse 16 it says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee," with reference to Hananiah, "from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." And verse 17 it says, "So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month." The punishment for giving a false message to the people. So yeah, we see a distinct comparison between a true prophet of God and a false prophet of God. The prophecies that were given before, this needs to be made very clear, that Jeremiah recognized that whatever light is given, it always needs to be tested according to the established light. When Hananiah came with a message, he said, yes, it's fine, but let's look at what has been prophesied before. Because God will not contradict himself. Anything that claims to be new light and new revelation must be in accordance with the light already given. And the light already given was, if you read earlier on, in chapter 27, in verses 9, it says, hearken not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, said the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. This was submission to the king of Babylon. They were to be allowed to stay, but they resisted and fought the king of Babylon. God told them not, and they were led into captivity and taken away. He goes on, God goes on to say through the prophet Jeremiah, it says, I spake also to Zedekiah the king of Judah according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. And also in verses 16, something interesting here, which is that in direct conflict with what Hananiah said, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should the city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them know, let them now make intercession of the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. It was because of their rebellion and because of not listening to this instruction of God that these things were taken away. The captivity was not going to be over in 2 years. In chapter 29, verses 10, it very clearly stated, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. So it was very clear, the prophet Hananiah was a false prophet, in spite of the fact that he claimed to be from God, which sends a message to us in our time, that we cannot just believe everything that claims to be from God. It needs to be tested according to the light which has already been given. And of course, in our day and age, that means the Word of God. Another interesting prophecy, which was basically speaking about the attitude of the people during the time of Jeremiah, comes from the book of chapter 6, in the same book, Jeremiah, verses 13. And your God is clearly presenting a tremendous indictment against the rulers of Israel and the leaders and against the false prophets. Listen to the indictment. He says, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Deception is everywhere. Verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, superficially in other words, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. A group of people that had become so deceived that had gotten to the point where they would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And the deception had so deep that even when the truth was revealed, they could not even blush. They were not ashamed, not even the conscience, in other words, was sleeping. They would rather have believed the lie as the kind of lie which was presented by the prophet Jeremiah. What a tremendous indictment. And again, we learn a lesson here today, is if we are deviating from God's plan and from his word, and we ignore what it is that God is teaching us, the result will be that we find ourselves in the condition of the children of Israel at that time, who lost faith in the law and the testimony, the word of God, the writings and testimony of the true prophets of God, and started rather believing in a lie that the so-called prophets were presenting to them. Of course, we need to look at the condition of things that will exist just before the end of time as well. And before the day of the Lord, as Paul speaks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because there will be exactly the same condition that will exist in the world, where there will be people out there who will be claiming that there is going to be peace on earth, that everything will be sorted out, that a new situation of peace and unity will exist amongst the nations. But indeed, does the Bible teach that this will happen? If we look at what Paul prophesies in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verses 1 down to verses 6, we will see whether indeed this is true. So join me next time as we continue in our study into true prophets and false prophets, into that which is truth and that which is a lie, and as we attempt to clearly establish our faith upon the Word of God and the Word of God alone. May that be our experience, and may God bless you. I look forward to speaking to you again. Bye-bye.
God has made it abundantly clear that there will come a time when many people will be deceived, and that's why it's so important to have a clear understanding of what the characteristics of a true and a false prophet really are, so that we can be standing firm on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. An audio of this message can be purchased for $7 Canadian by mentioning today's date and calling toll-free at 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. I'd also like to suggest that you visit our website at www.amazingdiscoveries.org. There you'll find all our previous broadcasts for you to listen to, as well as many articles and video clips to watch on a wide variety of Bible subjects. That's www.amazingdiscoveries.org. If you'd prefer to write to us, please send your letters to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the US, please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Tomorrow, Brian will continue looking at a few of these false prophet references mentioned in the scriptures and see what principles we can apply to the time we are living in. We'd just like to leave you with one of Brian's musical compositions entitled Abide With Me, which comes from a CD of Brian's that is available through Amazing Discoveries. If you'd like to order a copy, please call us or visit our website at amazingdiscoveries.org. I'm Jason Hernberg, wishing you a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time. Grow dim, it's
I triumph still.